back in the number.
All right. Well, we're excited because Lady Kim is indeed back. And we praise God for each of you tonight. Somebody give us the signal that you are getting a good sound and that you can hear us. We praise God for the First Lady. She's well on the road to recovery and doing a great job. And we praise God for her. She looks rested and looks relaxed. And she's ready to lead us through this time together tonight because she's had a lot of time to read out of.
I couldn't see.
That's right. So we praise God for each of you. This is Memorial Day, and this is a day that we really honor those who laid down their lives for us and those who fought and died in battle that we might have an opportunity to enjoy the freedoms that we do have. And so that's what Memorial Day is all about. And there are a lot of different memorial services that are going on throughout the country, just honoring those who fought diligently and faithfully to help us have a sense of democracy and have a sense of life and the freedom that we're enjoying now. Would you agree, Lady
Absolutely.
Kim? Absolutely. And so we praise God for that. But we're certainly grateful for those of you who are able to be with us tonight. We wanted to come on normally during the holidays. Sometimes they fall on Mondays, and I'm of the opinion that we need to continue to move forward. I know people are out enjoying themselves. This is a beautiful day today. The weather is fabulous. And we're in between time. In the meantime, before the summer comes, and that's one of the favorite times of the year for many people. But we praise God for allowing us to be a part of what he's doing in the earth realm. So let's welcome the First Lady back. Somebody give me some thumbs up and some hand claps and some encouraging words for the First Lady. She's been missing in action now almost, 2 weeks?
Almost three weeks.
Yeah. And she has another visit with the doctor before she's finally released to go back to normal activities like driving and what else? Going back to work and being able to see out of both eyes, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's have prayer, and then we're going to do an introduction tonight to 2 Chronicles. We finished 1 Chronicles last week with the 29th chapter, and so we're starting another study as it relates to moving to 2 Chronicles. And so we'll do an introduction tonight, and then on next week we'll just go ahead and dive into that first chapter. But let us have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We're certainly grateful for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for saving and setting us free. And so here we are tonight, prepared to study your word. You said in your word that your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we understand clearly that our faith will increase as a result of hearing the word. So we love you tonight and we honor you. We're grateful for the First Lady being back in the number tonight. And we thank God for those who will hear this particular time together of study and those who will participate in it even tonight. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Well, Lady Kim, yesterday was a very important day in the life of the church.
Yes, it was.
It was really one of the hallmark days for us to really put on our calendars, our Christian calendars, that has an impact in terms of our relationship and all that we are and how it all began.
Amen.
And so we know that the day of Pentecost is described in Acts, the 2nd chapter. And part of what we tried to do, what's wrong?
I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. I thought I had. Part of what we tried to do on yesterday was just kind of give a little background about that day. That second chapter of Acts is so rich with detail and with information. We left a whole lot of meat on the bone yesterday, but we just wanted to kind of give people a sense of what happened. And I used as a theme, as a title for that sermon, empowered by Pentecost. Isn't that right?
Empowered by Pentecost.
And so that second chapter of Acts, I think I lifted up those first four or five verses there. But there was so much happening on that day. And this really marks it was 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. Mm-hmm. And then he had ascended. And it was some 10 days in between that. So this was really the 50-day mark.
50-day mark.
That's right. And so
the Jubilee.
Jubilee mark.
Jubilee is 50 years.
50 years, that's right.
50-day mark.
That 50 is symbolic. But
yes.
The disciples, 120 of them, they are in the upper room. And, yes. And they have been commissioned to wait.
Yes.
And God had given them, Jesus had given them specific instructions
to wait
for the promise. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power. Mm-hmm. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so when Jesus ascended, that's in the first chapter of Acts, when he ascended, it was a period of 10 days. And the Holy Spirit did descend upon those who were in the upper room, said 120 of them.
Yes.
And something powerful happened in that room.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Yes. You can jump in at any time.
Well, you were going on and on.
No, I'm just joking.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when Jesus told them to wait, I guess they didn't have any idea what they were waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew Jesus told them to wait there. And
okay.
So, you know, I use my sanctified imagination to say they waited for several reasons. They waited because Jesus told them to wait there,
mm-hmm.
to receive power.
Okay.
But what they were waiting for, they had no idea. Jesus told them the Holy Spirit would come.
That's right.
Would
John
had
baptized
you
with water, but I'm baptizing with something much greater.
Right. Right. But that was the first time probably they had heard of, you know, mm-hmm. They didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
And then they were still afraid too.
Right.
Because
right.
40 days, that's about a month and a few days,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus had been crucified.
Okay.
You know, and he was buried and he rose again. So they were still afraid too, because
absolutely.
People were still out there talking about Jesus and the things he had done, and you know, they were probably afraid that it might happen to them too.
Okay, because they were fearful of the association,
right.
as it relates to them being followers of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And they could have been very easily still in hiding,
mm-hmm.
because they were not sure of the climate, nor were they sure of what the culture was going to do in terms of trying to, you know, get them, kill them,
mm-hmm.
because of their association with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the disciples, they were really living on tiptoe.
Mm-hmm.
But God had made sure that he would provide for them comfort in this time, and then give them the power that they needed in order to accomplish the task that was before them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were charged with a very powerful message that needed to go forth, and little did they know that the power that they would receive in that second chapter was what was going to propel them to really do the work of ministry.
Amen.
And so I just kind of piggybacked on that yesterday, just kind of talking about the fact that they were empowered by Pentecost, and we too are empowered by Pentecost. And we ought not never, ever forget that it's the birthday of the church. And when we go to birthday celebrations, when we participate in festive times like birthdays, we come with a spirit of celebration and anticipation as well as expectation.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
That's right. That's right. And so you were talking about, you know, how God empowers his church for ministry
mm-hmm.
through the coming of his Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we try to go in our power.
Okay.
And not in the power that God has given us through his Holy Spirit.
That's good.
So that was a good reminder yesterday that God has given us power. Sometimes we feel powerless.
Okay.
In the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. But if we just step back and, you know, remember that God has given us power through the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. not power within ourselves, but power through the Holy Ghost to do whatever he has tasked us to do.
Okay. All right. That's good. And so many of you are already familiar with this particular passage of scripture. And we know that they were in one place. They were on one accord mm-hmm. and they had all things in common because they were waiting for something powerful to happen. And little did they know that, as it describes it here in this second chapter, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Didn't miss out anybody. It said upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost
mm-hmm.
and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yes.
And so it's something about being on one accord. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
It's something about being in unison in terms of what you're trying to accomplish and what you're trying to do. And God showed up in a powerful and a mighty way here in this text. And as you just indicated, he empowered his church through the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so the empowering was for them to do ministry and for them to carry out the message that Jesus had left with them.
Mm-hmm.
They had some other important tasks to take care of mm-hmm. before Peter got up and began to preach and began to try to make sense of what was happening
mm-hmm.
that day, because they had to elect someone to take the place of Judas. You remember that?
Yes.
And they elected, I think the Bible says that they took a poll. They did pull straws
mm-hmm.
and the lot fell on, who was it?
Mattathias.
That's right.
Mattathias.
And he was named in the number to take the place of Judas. And then Peter stood up and tried to make sense of everything that happened that day. And he began to preach and tried to explain to people, because there was a whole lot of what you could consider to be confusion. And the people thought that the disciples were drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to make sure that they understood that, no, they were not drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And later on, we see that he even says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when Peter finished preaching, Lady Kim, some 3,000 souls
came
to the church. Can you believe that?
Yes.
And so it's all lined up with this whole passage, because the second point was, when the church is empowered, ministry is never the same.
Right.
And so once we have received what God wants us to have, and we're acting in obedience and surrender to what he has called for us to do, we're allowing the message to match the ministry, and we're doing what God has called us to do. Some things happen and they are not the same.
Amen.
A lot of people want to go back and try to recreate what was. And the disciples were wrestling with that even in that first chapter. But Jesus was making sure that they knew that what they had experienced in the past, it would be a whole nother direction that they would be going into. And the power of the Holy Spirit would be operating in their lives to take them to a whole nother level.
Another level.
Yeah.
And I like when you said that they were all on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
One accord means that they had all the same idea in mind.
Okay.
They sat there, they were obedient, they waited for the Holy Spirit. They were all on one accord. They were waiting for God to give them direction and directive. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be great if we could just all settle and sit and wait for God to give us direction?
That's good.
You know, a lot of times we want to come up with our ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But what about if we're all on one accord and we wait for God to give us direction?
That's right.
Where the Holy Ghost resides, God will guide.
Okay.
Or where God guides, the Holy Ghost resides. You can say mm-hmm. it either way.
That's good. You know, that's real good.
God resides within us,
mm-hmm.
and His Holy Spirit resides within us.
Okay.
And allows us to flow in one accord.
Okay. That's good, Doctor. Reverend Doctor. All right. So that's part of what was happening in that upper room. And it was a Pentecostal experience that took place. And Jesus made sure that the disciples received everything that they needed mm-hmm. in order to be effective in ministry.
Right.
And the ministry before this time, they were more observing what Jesus was doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one thing, Lady Kim, to see somebody doing something, but it's altogether different when you have to do it yourself. But Jesus wanted to make sure that they would be empowered by this experience and that they would receive what they needed in order to fulfill the task.
Amen. And we need God's power to fulfill the task.
That's right.
We cannot go forth in our power. If we go forth in our power, it's not going to work.
That's right.
You know, but your third one was when God speaks, it shall come to pass.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we have to make sure that we're listening to and for the voice of God.
Okay.
We have a whole lot of voices speaking to us or talking to us. But when we take heed to the word of God, when God speaks a thing into our spirit and we're obedient, then it shall come to pass.
Okay. So we have to stand on that promise, right?
Absolutely.
And when he speaks, many times it comes as a result of the promises that we see in the word of God. And I think on yesterday I was sharing with the congregation that many times you find yourself in a situation where you have to wait on that promise to mm-hmm. be fulfilled and to be manifest in your situation. And many times people become, they become perplexed when they, what they have been asking God to do has not manifested in their situation.
Amen.
But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord,
oh, yes, Lord.
Shall renew their Amen. Strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk
and not
faint. Mm-hmm. And so what this scripture was really referring to was what God had already prophesied back in Joel, the book of Old Testament, book of Joel 2 and 28. And it came to pass in Acts 2 and 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes what we ask God to do may not happen right after we get up off of our knees or right after we finish our prayer, but we have to hold on to God's unchanging hands, because many times God is trying to do a work in us
mm-hmm.
so that we can be released into what he has promised to give us.
Amen.
And if you're not prepared for the promise, then you can end up messing up and doing just the opposite of what God would have you to do. Would you agree with me on that?
Amen. And Pastor Marquis said, thank God he is a promise keeper.
Hallelujah. That's right.
God is a promise keeper, but we have to trust the promises of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you again, and we welcome the First Lady back. She's
Yay.
Back in rare form, and she's standing tall tonight, and we're grateful for her being here and for your prayers and for her patiently, because she's in a waiting stage
holding pattern.
And that's similar to what the disciples were in.
In a holding pattern.
They were in a holding pattern. They were in a waiting room. They not only were waiting, but they were praying and they were anticipating something to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they didn't just sit there and twiddle their thumbs, mm-hmm. but they made full use of the time that they had in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so what that means for us is that when we have not received the what God has promised, that we can't sit back idle and not be actively involved. And when the time does come for God to release what he's promised that he will release in our situation, we'll be ready to receive it.
Amen. All right. That's good, Reverend.
All right. Well, tonight we're going to just do about 15 minutes tonight. We're going to just look at the introduction, if you will, to 2 Chronicles. As we indicated earlier, we finished up with 1 Chronicles on last week, and it was a powerful close. We know that David passes off the scene. Now his son Solomon is taking the reins, and that David has set forth an example before the people. He has not only said what he would do, but he put his actions where his words were. I don't think that's the way that goes, but he was willing to invest in what he had in order to make the fulfillment of what he was speaking to the people come to pass. And so David stands before the people. He releases some of his personal wealth, and then he also gives more over and above what he had given. And many times I think we want to just settle for the minimum that we can give, but God requires us to give even more. Amen. And you talked about how important it is for us to understand the difference between the tithe and the offering. Mm-hmm. And some people get that confused and think that once they have given their tithe, that's it. Mm-hmm. But that's just a starting point, really.
Absolutely.
And God requires of us to do more, because he's done so much more for us. And the interesting thing about it is that the more we give, the more he'll give back to us.
Amen.
And you can't beat God's giving, mm-hmm. no matter how hard you try. And so you have to trust God and try him at his word. Malachi said, prove me, try me, and see if I won't open for you the very windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Many times we miss out on what God is trying to give us in abundance because we are scared to step out on faith.
Amen.
But can I tell somebody tonight that once you step out, God will step in.
Hey, hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's a word for somebody who's perhaps waiting. But once you step out, that's when God's going to step in.
Yeah. And David put his money where his, you know,
his mouth was.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the way it goes. Right.
Put your money where your
mouth
is.
Right.
If David didn't just talk the talk, he put money behind it. He put his resources behind it. He went over and above to make sure that things came to pass.
That's right.
So that when his son Solomon took over, there was a model set there, you know, for Solomon to follow.
A great succession plan that is right before us as we see that transition. And also how David was willing to empty himself and not be selfish in terms of him making sure that his son had everything he needed in order to be successful.
Yes.
And so what you'll see here, as we're just kind of going to do a little recap of just the introduction to 2 Chronicles. Really, 1 and 2 Chronicles, it's a continuous narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're starting a whole nother book and we're trying to pick up. But Second Chronicles kind of describes the construction of the temple that Solomon is building. It also gives us some clear indications about how God is dwelling in that holy temple and his faithfulness to the promises that he had established with the children of Israel. And so we'll see in those first probably 10 or so verses where Solomon's reign over God's temple is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some very other important things that are happening here, and some familiar passages of scripture that really many of us have heard before. And one is in that first chapter, verse number 9, where he says, "Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled." This is 2 Chronicles. "And you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth." Mm-hmm. And so Solomon was consciously aware of what he had inherited.
Amen.
And he was clear in his mind and in his spirit of who God was and how God was going to be the one who would give him what he needed in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a part of where we see David, God asked Solomon what he wanted.
What he wanted.
Right.
Yes.
And that's when we're going to pick that up.
Yeah, that's but in the second chapter, the 20th verse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't ask for riches. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask for
fame
or wealth,
mm-hmm.
or for his life, for God to kill those who hated him.
Right. Right.
Or he didn't ask for a whole lot of things. He didn't ask for long life. But he just asked God for something very simple and very powerful, didn't he?
Yeah. Wisdom and knowledge.
To rule his people.
Wisdom and knowledge, yes.
Whom God had made him ruler over.
Mm-hmm.
And that really struck a nerve with God. And God decided as a result of Solomon being so humble and so modest in terms of what he was asking for, he said, "No, I tell you what, I'm gonna give you everything that you didn't ask for and more."
Amen.
And we know that Solomon became, of course, one the richest man to ever live,
mm-hmm.
and he had wealth and fortune that really was like nobody else could imagine. And God honored his prayer because of the humility that he had in terms of not trying to ask for everything, but asking for what he needed in order to rule the people
mm-hmm.
that he was in charge of.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see it at the latter part of that first chapter when we look at it that, you know, like you said, God gave Solomon riches and wealth more than any king before him and any king that came after
that's
him.
That's right.
So because he asked for wisdom and knowledge on how to rule God's people, God blessed him in a mighty way.
Absolutely. And we also notice this another powerful passage of scripture found in 2 Chronicles that many of us are familiar with it around that 7th chapter. In around verse 14.
Oh, yeah.
And that's almost one that's locked in the memory bank of a lot of people.
Right.
What does it say?
If my people,
we can
all finish that.
Absolutely.
Which are called by my name,
mm-hmm.
shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We can almost recite that with our eyes closed.
That's right.
You know, we can recite, you know, at least a portion of it.
Absolutely.
You know, if my people, which are called by my names, will humble themselves, you know, pray. Humble, mm-hmm. pray, seek God's face,
mm-hmm.
and turn.
That's right. Wow. That's powerful.
Four major things that they have to do.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll see that 2 Chronicles is rich with a lot of familiarity, and we're just doing an introduction tonight for those of you who are joining. 2 Chronicles, we finished up 1 Chronicles last week, and we're just lifting up a few of the finer scriptures that you're familiar with. But you'll see that throughout 2 Chronicles, the scriptures and the names and the places are sometimes repeated, because it's showing the connection and helping us to recall the information that God has already shared. And as we talked about when we introduced 1 Chronicles, how that word chronicle means to record the history,
mm-hmm.
or a register, and a chronicler was the one who was writing all of these historical facts down,
mm-hmm.
so that it wouldn't get lost in the process. And you know, that's still key today. We have kind of gotten away from keeping a succinct record of history,
mm-hmm.
But we need that in writing, and we need it in a place where, I know we're in a digital age now, but we need it so that it can serve as a reminder for those who are yet coming behind us, mm-hmm. about how blessed we are, and how God provided, and how God made a way, mm-hmm. how God opened doors, and yes. how God delivered, and how God set free. But if those who are coming behind us don't have any guideposts or no sense of what God did for us, they can go and make some of the mistakes that's not even necessary for them to make because they don't have a clear path in which to follow.
Amen. And I think that's to the detriment of African-American people, mm-hmm. that we did not continue to remind our young people, our generations that have come after us, of the rich history and heritage that we have as
that's
black
right.
people.
That's right.
We, unlike the Jewish people, okay. you know, when it comes to Passover, mm-hmm. when the Jewish people gather for Passover, that's all they do is recite their history, recite what God had done for them, how they came through, mm-hmm. You know, Israel and other things that God had done for Israel. But as African American people, we drop the ball somewhere.
Yeah.
We do not or have not reminded our African American kings and queens, prince and princesses, that we once came from kings and queens.
That's right.
We came
That's
from
right.
great people in
royalty.
Egypt.
That's
we
right.
We came from royalty. We built great pyramids. We were great architects. We were wonderful mathematicians. We were wonderful scientists. You know, we had it all.
Right.
We still have it all.
But Absolutely.
We have just neglected to remind our young people mm-hmm. of what they have.
Okay. And you know, Lady Kim, as you were making reference to that, you told me yesterday about the story that was on 60 Minutes.
Oh, yes.
And that was really right in line with what you were just talking about, mm-hmm. in terms of how many times we forget our history, or it's not taught to us. And when we walk into the blessing, we have to catch up because we did not get the full story when we were growing up.
Absolutely.
And the young man who bought this slave plantation, he said that they didn't even talk about slavery in his house.
They didn't talk about it. It was something never mentioned.
Mama didn't talk about it. Grandmama didn't talk about it. It was just something that happened. But the resiliency of the people, and then when they found the slave quarters, and the people began to do research and find out about what had happened, It just turned that whole situation around for this family. What was the name of that?
I can't remember the name of the, but there, it's in North Carolina. Uh-huh. And there's a large family that, and their roots were in North Carolina. And they always passed this house, this mansion on the road. There was a few miles down from where their mother resided, mm-hmm. and the house came up for sale, and so
the young
lady told her brother about it. Said it's up for sale. We need to buy that house. He said what house? She said the scary house.
That somebody said.
Yes, the Miller family, and they said yes. And so he put a bid on the house, never expecting to win the bid on the house, because he said he was an African American, he was black, and he didn't think they would sell the property to a black person. Not only was there a large house, but there were several acres of land that went along with the house. And in the back of the house, there was what they found out later on to be slave quarters. And it was a very interesting story. So when they started digging into the history of that particular home, they actually found out that it was where their people came
That's
from.
Right. That's
and that
right.
their people were actually slaves on this very
on
this property
purchased.
That he had purchased.
That's amazing.
So man, it was so wonderful. What an awesome story about that Miller family, and I can't remember what the name of the house was. It started with an S.
Somebody tell us what that was. We both have a little moment here, but that was not a part of the script tonight.
No.
But it fit right in with what you were talking about.
Charleswood. Thank
Charleswood,
you.
Charleswood. That's right.
Charleswood.
Thank you, Brother Al. That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
And so those of you who missed that episode last night, then you can go back and see that.
Right.
Because it was a powerful and rich story. And these young people, they were walking into something that they had no idea about the history of. And so it is with us many times. If we don't share our story, if we don't make sure that we have that time where, as we talk about the chronicle and how important it is for us to keep track of our history, they were fortunate enough with all of the things that's happening nowadays with the research.
And technology
mm-hmm. to be able to go and find out what they were actually. What's wrong? You all right?
So you sitting down and your activity. Right.
I was moving my hands.
Completing
so
rings that, on your activity.
I guess that's what
okay,
it was.
Okay, yes.
But that's crucial for us going forward because we've got to tell the story. We can't let it die on the vine. We got to make sure that those who are coming behind us have clear guideposts for them to see where they are headed and to remember from whence they've come.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes. And one of the things that's important historically about First and Second Chronicles is that it was originally one book.
Okay.
But they were separated into two accounts. You know, the first account being talking about King David,
uh-huh.
and then the second account beginning with the rule of Solomon. You know, and it deals primarily with Judah, who is the capital, whose capital was Jerusalem,
okay.
and who was called the Southern Kingdom, dominating the New Kingdom. And, you know, the Northern Kingdom was the rebellious kingdom, and that Northern Kingdom was called Israel or Ephraim, and called the last lost 10 tribes.
Uh-huh.
So the split was caused by the Northern tribes complaining.
Wow, wow. And so, you know, when I was looking at that, Lady Kim, earlier, there's always something that causes the tension, disagreement and tension and causes a split to happen. And we know that Solomon was king over the full kingdom before it was divided.
Right.
But it began to split because people had disagreements and they were not flowing in the same direction as what we see happen in the second chapter of Acts. Mm-hmm. They were not on one accord. And so, you know, they had already went into the promised land and they had divided all of the property and they had made distribution to all of the children, the 12 tribes of Israel were established and they all had their own area in which they were to be productive. But this brings into light that even though they had what they needed, there was still some kind of tension there to cause them not to continue to go forward and be. It says that the tribes were complaining.
Mm.
And so many times, even though things are going good, people can be selfish in their motives as well as their desires and cause things not to go the way God would have them to go.
Amen. Amen.
And so there are several themes, and those of you who just joined us, we praise God for each of you, and we're just doing a recap, just an introduction, if you will, tonight to Second Chronicles. We're going to pick this up next week in the first chapter and just kind of really go through and explore that. But there are possibly three themes that will occur throughout Second Chronicles, and one of them has to do with God's promise to David being fulfilled through his son. And the other one, I think, has to do with God's desire to abide in the temple, and then we'll see one line or one thread that continues to be throughout the Bible, how God's ongoing offer of forgiveness is still present in the lives of the people. So a promise of desire and forgiveness mm-hmm. are some of the main themes. And then you can look at how the important thing that we need to understand is that when we are to remember First and Second Chronicles, both were written during the time of exile.
Okay.
And so a lot of times people forget that. And the focus here has to do with obedience, as we've already talked about a little bit, and that resulted in God's blessings. Obedience still brings the reward even today, and how the priority for Second Chronicles was really to make the temple what would be pleasing in God's eyesight, and have all of those who were serving and all of those who had responsibility to understand the unconditional promises that were set in the house by David, and how they had to continue to walk in those promises.
Amen. Amen. And in Second Chronicles, you know, there are a lot of key characters.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that we're going to talk about. Of course, there's Solomon, who is David's son.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen of Sheba, known as Makeda.
Mm-hmm.
And the Queen of Egypt and Ethiopia, with whom David slept with, and who was known primarily for her visit to the king of Solomon to witness his wisdom for 6 months.
Right.
You know, she wanted to see this king that everybody talked about that had mm-hmm. all the riches and the wealth. Rehoboam, the first monarch of the kingdom of Judah, the son of and the successor to Solomon, and the grandson of David.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're just talking about the key characters here. Asa was the descendant of David. He was the third king of the house of Judah and the fifth king of the house of David, doing the right thing and ruling for 41 years.
Wow, isn't that something?
41 years.
That's wild.
But there's even one who reigned longer than that. Then there was Jehoshaphat,
mm-hmm.
the son of Asa. And it talks about Asa in 1 Kings 15 and 20. And we're going to see that, you know, there are a lot of similarities among 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. So there are a lot of similarities and a lot of overlap there. But again, Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, 1 Kings 15 and 20. Ahab, the seventh king, wicked of Israel, and the husband of Jezebel, Jehoram succeeded his father Asa as king. Joash, the eighth king of Israel. Uzziah, known as Azariah, and was the tenth king of the eighth ancient kingdom. Ahaz, the 12th king of Judah at 20 years of age, and he reigned for 16 years.
That's right.
Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, and 13th king of Judah. Manasseh, the 14th king of the kingdom of Judah, becoming a king at the age of 12 and remaining and reigning for 55 years.
Isn't that amazing?
So he was 12 when he started, so that means he was 67 when he finished reigning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was the of all of these descendants, the longest reigning.
Okay.
And Josiah, the 16th king of Judah, who instituted major religious reforms by removing official worship of gods or idols,
mm-hmm.
little g gods.
Mm-hmm. And so this is just really kind of an introduction, as we've indicated. For those of you who just joining us, we're in Second Chronicles, just giving an overview and just an introduction of what to expect as we go forward. But in this study, we're going to see how that Solomon prepares, he builds, and he dedicates the temple. and we'll talk more about that next week. And then we'll look at some of the achievements and the accomplishments and some of the fame that he was able to establish as a result of his faithfulness to God, and how God honored his covenant through David, and how God began to make sure that what he had promised Solomon through his father, it would come to pass. Mm-hmm. And Solomon, of course, reigned, and he was faithful to what God required of him to do, and built the temple for God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
So, Lady Kim, you said there are going to be some similarities here that we'll see between 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles.
Yes.
As it relates to how all of that really ties in, and how important it is for us to understand that this was regarding the king's political and military, as well as economic and religious power that he possessed, and the governing of the people, and how all of this kind of went hand in glove, and how some of the events are repeated from 1 Chronicles over in 2 Chronicles, and you'll see some of the same things coming back in 1 and 2 Samuel, as well as 1 and 2 Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to stop there for tonight. We're not going to go into that first chapter, but we do know that Solomon is now the king of Israel, and that he is trying to finish up the task that was before him as we closed out 1 Chronicles, in terms of him building the temple, and how his father had made sure that he had everything in place, mm-hmm. in order to be successful,
mm-hmm.
and how he is willing to align himself and be humble in terms of what he's asking God to do. And we see how God blessed him in a powerful and a mighty way. And he became one of the most powerful men to ever live, and how he set a model for those who came behind him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So I think Solomon was probably, I think you mentioned, who was that was 14 years old when they started? Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
It was, no, that was Manasseh.
Yes, he reigned at age 12.
He was 12.
Uh-huh.
And so Solomon was not quite that young, but he was already being prepped.
Yes.
Some scholars say that he was perhaps 30 or younger when he took over after his father died.
Mm-hmm.
But he reigned for a long time, and I think he was something like 80. I don't know how old he was when he died, but we'll see a lot of successions that happen in this process in 2 Chronicles. But you read about Solomon and about his influence throughout the Bible, and all of that is not necessarily associated to what he was doing when he was king on the throne.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, any comments there? Any questions? Any prayer requests? We're getting ready to close tonight. We just wanted to give you a brief recap. We have about 10 more minutes. We're certainly grateful for the First Lady being back. She's been out for a couple of weeks, and we missed her on yesterday and the Sunday before. But she said she felt like she wanted to come on Bible study tonight. And so we're grateful that she made an appearance tonight. And we praise God for the recovery process that's happening. And we're looking forward to her being in the number. You see the hearts and the thumbs up.
Amen.
Going before us, even as we welcome you back, Lady Kim.
Well,
how do you feel? Tell us how you feel.
I feel pretty good. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow that I had eye surgery.
What was the name of that surgery?
Vitrectomy on my retina.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Okay.
I have a macular hole in my retina.
Okay.
That was repaired. So God is faithful. I'm telling you, things are getting back. Still don't have my vision totally back in my right eye, but it's getting there.
Still not driving. I'm driving Miss Kim.
Driving Miss Kim.
That's right.
That's
until
right.
She gets back on track. But that's great.
Hope to be released to drive real soon.
Okay. So what did you miss? What did you miss most while you were? Well, no, I put it this way. What was probably the most challenging thing for you during this 3-week period?
Well, the first week I had to lay flat on my face, you know, for 45 minutes out of every hour.
Okay.
So I could only get up for 15 minutes, stretch, walk around, go to the restroom, and then I had to lay flat on my face again in order for the surgery to be successful. They put a gas bubble in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that gas bubble, as it absorbs into my retina, then it heals the retina.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's getting there.
Okay.
It's an interesting process, mm-hmm. but yes, it's healing well, so the doctor says.
That's right.
So I'm just glad that I've had this time to, you know, kind of relax, and couldn't do much reading because they don't want my eyes to go back and forth. You know, I could watch TV because you could just look straight ahead and try not to move your eyes a lot. But it was challenging, but to God be the glory. I said, if Jesus can stay in the grave for 3 days, I can stay on my face for a week.
All right, now.
So, yes, but thank you for all of your prayers, your texts, your calls, your cards, your gifts. Amen. Yes, I've received some gifts. We have some generous people within our congregation. So I thank God for the gift cards.
Did you receive some gift cards? This is the first time I'm hearing about
you
this.
You already ate off them gift cards. Don't play.
You're right. We do have some very generous people, and the people are prayerfully praying. I don't know if that's right. Prayerfully praying.
Lifting me up in prayer.
That's right. That you get beyond this.
Amen.
And, we know that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. And we miss you. The people miss you, Lady Kim. And we're glad that you're getting back to a place of normalcy.
Amen. Well, I thank you again for your prayers. And I miss being there. It feels like, you know, a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're supposed to be somewhere because you're so used to being somewhere.
Right.
And doing a certain thing. And it felt strange. But to God be the glory. I will see you all in person soon, if it be His will.
All right. All right. Well, we have a big weekend happening
absolutely.
This weekend at ATOP. Preparation is already in motion for Big Dre's barbecue cook-off.
Amen.
And from talking with DeJuan Whitmore today, looks like we have about 12 to 13 contestants.
Wonderful.
And we're getting everything in order for a wonderful weekend starting Saturday at ATOP. And so we're looking forward to God being present and for us having a glorious time. And we're looking for you, hopefully, if you can be there with your... You didn't tell them about your glasses. The shades that you have to wear when you go outside. You still wearing those?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that just protects my eyes from the sun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so I told her to shake her head like Stevie Wonder when she's wearing
glasses. Don't pay no attention to him.
But we praise God for the recovery, Lady Kim.
Amen.
All right. Well, you feel up to closing us out with a word of prayer tonight?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Don't forget to bring the children out. I think they're going to have a water slide.
Oh, yeah. A lot of activities. A
lot of activities on Saturday, beginning at what time? I know the food is beginning at 12 noon.
Right. Here's something right here. Let's see.
Food is at 12 noon, so the cooking time, they're going to start cooking at 6 a.m. The event time is at 10 a.m.
Serving the food is
at 12. Serving the food at 12, so get your tickets if you haven't gotten a ticket. That guarantees you a place. Bouncers, yes.
A whole lot of activity going on.
Activities going on, so bring the kids out, bring your family out. There's going to be a tent out there.
Absolutely.
So you can sit out there under the tent.
Stan Bell is going to be DJing.
All right. Stan Bell is going to be there. So
live music. That's
we're going to have some chairs and tables out there under the tent where you can sit and eat your food. If you don't can't stay, if you're on your lunch break, just come and pick your plate up and you can keep on moving. But We plan on, and the weather is supposed to be nice,
is
too.
Is it supposed to agree with us?
The weather is supposed to be awesome.
Okay.
So we're looking for each and every one of you. Again, lift up in your prayers, Brother James Shotwell, still in Regional 1
Hospital.
Well,
he's at Methodist now.
Okay.
I got a call today, and I meant to share that with you.
Okay.
I was gonna mention that.
All right. So we just want to continue to lift him up in prayers, as well as all of our sick and shut in that are on our list. Good to see Sister Lena on tonight.
Amen.
Sister Lena, we're praying, continuing to pray for you and all the others who are on the sick and shut in list. We're lifting you up in prayer. All right, if nothing else, let's go to God in prayer.
Thank you.
God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy of all of our praise. We thank you for reminding us, God, of our responsibility as those who are in charge of our families to make sure that they understand their history and their heritage and how you have blessed us, not sometimes, but blessed us all the time.
Yes, God.
So we thank you and we bless you for your continued blessings throughout our lives, throughout our family's history. We ask, God, your blessings to be upon all those who are sick that are on our sick and shut-in list, especially Brother Shotwell, still in the hospital. We ask that you would continue to heal his body. We thank you, oh God, for the outreach ministry that went forth on yesterday,
yes, God,
feeding of many in our neighborhoods. We ask, oh God, that you will continue to bless our feeding ministry and those who participate in it. God, we ask that you will provide all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, we ask that you will continue to bless Anointed Temple of Praise as we go forth to do your will. Continue to keep your hand of goodness and mercy upon us, God, as we try to do the work that you have called us to do. We thank you for each person that is attached with Anointed Temple of Praise. Continue, oh God, to lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God.
Amen.
All right. Y'all be blessed.
Be blessed.
Till next time.
Amen. Bye-bye.